Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Epilogues, Part 3, How to Rattle an Undead Couple, by Haley Edwards, narrated by Rebecca Mitchell. Chapter 1. The cake on the counter, the one with the Do Not Eat sign propped in front of it, tempted me. Lethe had talked Linus and me into a gender reveal cake for my official baby shower, and its interior beckoned, not because of the secret it held, but because it was a lemon chiffon cake, and I had been craving citrus like crazy for the last 3 months. The smell of it made me salivate, and breathing it in, I almost tasted it. Maybe no one would notice if I stole a teensy bite, or a slice? One slice. Who would notice that? It was my cake, so it wasn't really stealing. More like sampling. Yeah, sampling. That sounded less felonious. Sneaking around to the back, I groaned at the second sign in a larger font. Get your prego butt out of the kitchen and away from this cake ASAP. The curtains on the windows rustled as Woolworth House laughed at my pain and suffering. Lethe is so mean, I complained to Wooly. Who put her in charge anyway? You did, the meanie said from the doorway. Here. A cupcake sat on her palm, its frosting a creamy yellow, and delicate spirals of lemon peel adorned the top. For me? I snatched it before she could answer and shoved it into my mouth. Thank you. You're welcome. She brought her other hand out from behind her back to reveal a second cupcake. Why don't we go wait for Neely? Neely is going to force me to look presentable. You're Dame Woolworth, the Grand Dame's daughter-in-law, and the potentate of Savannah. You have to look presentable. Backing toward the living room, she lured me across the threshold, then handed over the treat. Just sit right here, in the place of honor. A wing-back chair had been wrapped in pink and blue crepe paper, studded with pink and blue balloons, and sprinkled with pink and blue glitter from the crown I was expected to wear, guaranteeing I would be washing sparkles out of my hair for days. The living room was freakishly quiet, without Keith occupying his usual spot by the window, but the goofball was banished to the office until after our guests left to avoid his farting noises giving the Grand Dame an aneurysm. You're not fooling me. I started on the second cupcake while she eased me onto my throne. I'm onto you. If you're implying that I'm using food to motivate you to behave, then yes, you're right. I am. She produced a third cupcake from thin air. No, wait. Oscar handed it to her. The traitor. You're about to pop. I'm not too worried about you seeking revenge for my manipulations anytime soon. The small ghost boy wore his usual dark blue sailor suit with sagging ankle socks and dirtied canvas shoes. A matching cap, wrinkled within an inch of its life, rested at a jaunty angle on his mass of blonde curls. No smile for me. No eye contact either. Proof he was still grumpy the Grand Dame had insisted he remain in his room during the party. Mad was not a great mood for a poltergeist frozen at the age of 6, so I would have to make it up to him if I didn't want a tantrum later. But he would have to be a good little ghost boy to earn his reward. Motherhood, even with undead children, was tough. Never let anyone tell you different. Balling up a sticky wrapper, I showed great restraint in not licking clean. I let Oscar sulk while I hurled it at Lethe's face. If you tell me you can walk faster than I can waddle one more time, teeth flashing, she laughed at my expense. You just did it for me. The lights dialed brighter, then flickered as a thrill shot through Wooly. A sure sign company was coming. Mom! Eva stepped through the front door with a pudgy toddler on her hip. Be nice to Greer. Thank you, Eva Diva. I beamed at her. I always knew you were my favorite niece for a reason. Number one was how she could walk into a room and tell when her mom was being mean to me, which, in my humble opinion, was always. For a girl about to turn three who could pass for a tween, she had maturity in spades. "I'm your only niece," she said, as she had 100 times before. But then a brilliant smile broke across her face, and she kissed the top of the toddler's head. "Guess I can't say that anymore, huh?" "What treachery is this?" Lethe gaped at her offspring. "I'm the nicest person you know." "Mom." Eva rolled her eyes. "That stopped being true when I got old enough to leave the house. What did you do to Kaylee?" I wasn't an expert on babies, but the toddler was drooling, and it was blue. She looks exhausted. I let her join the other pups during recess. She played until snack time, ate three sugar-free blue raspberry ice pops, then curled up under a tree. Eva plopped down on the couch, Kaylee barely stirring. "She's guaranteed to sleep through your party now. No interruptions." "You're a genius," I praised her. "An evil genius, but we don't discriminate in this family." The toddler, Kaylee Kinase, was a new addition to the Savannah Gwilji pack and the Kinase family. When she was only a few months old, Kaylee was earmarked as a sacrifice for a black magic ritual. Linus and I shut down the dark rite with help from Lethe and Hood before she came to any harm. But Kaylee's parents had been murdered by the same witches who planned to sacrifice her, and the bleak experience had left Kaylee with a dark aura no amount of smudging could remove. Social services, the paranormal branch, made it plain Kaylee had no prospects, that no family would risk what developed when the girl hit puberty and that darkness manifested. But they had been wrong. Hood and Lethe had been trying for another baby, and when they heard the news about Kaylee, they leapt at the chance to welcome her into their family. Eva, who was rarely a diva these days, was in heaven with a playmate she would never outgrow, since sisters were forever. It was good training for the day when Linus and I needed a babysitter for our little terror. And yeah, with Lethe as his or her godmother, and Hood as her or his godfather, I had no illusions I wasn't giving birth to a future hellion. All I could do was pray to Hecate that he or she took more after her father than me. "I also packed board games," Eva said to the grumpy ghost boy. "We can play while they party." Oscar zoomed around the room until he blurred, then called out, "Race you upstairs!" Eva never stood a chance. No one beats a boy who can zip through walls. Not that she tried, with Kaylee still in her arms. Wooly's lights flashed an incoming warning, and she opened the door in a rush. "Thank you, Wooly," Neely panted from behind a mountain of gifts stacked higher than his head. "I'm about to drop everything." The house, who loved him as much as I did, blew him a kiss on the warm air currents from the vents. "Suck up," I thought after her. "You're angling for those new stained glass windows." Hired to help me decorate the baby's room, Neely made the epic mistake of buying Wooly new curtains to freshen up the living room. More small touches had spilled out into the rest of the rooms from there as they slowly redecorated the entire house with little or no feedback from Linus and me. The old girl had sat abandoned and alone for years, so I didn't begrudge her the expert makeover, even if I did start to wonder if she was stealing Neely from me. Cruz strolled in behind his husband with a sleek garment bag slung over his shoulder. "Hello, Wall." For Cruz, that greeting was tantamount to a round of warm hugs and sloppy kisses. Obviously, I was immediately suspicious. After hanging the bag on the downstairs salon door, he rushed to unload Neely's arms. "You should have let me carry these," he chided. "You're working too hard on this baby shower. You just like to fuss." Neely kissed Cruz's cheek. "Anna like to let you." I'm going to put Kaylee down while it's still quiet, Eva murmured, heading upstairs to our baby's room and the playpen Kaylee preferred to nap in when she visited us. Glancing over her shoulder, she singled me out. Oscar and I will hang in your room so I can keep an ear out for her, if that's okay. Knock yourself out. Thanks, Aunt Greer. You've got a good kid there. I watched her go with a sigh. She's growing up so fast. All parents said it, but in her case, it was 100% true. She was blazing through childhood. I found a picture of a boy in her room. Lethe's mouth pulled to one side. I'm not ready for this. You're not the only one. Neely butted into our conversation. You need to get dressed for your party. With a sweep of my hand, I invited him to admire my baggy sweats and blue tank top streaked with orange fingerprints from the cheese balls I ate before bed. This one even had a built-in snack drawer. Bra. I am dressed. You're wearing clothes, Neely agreed, wiping crumbs off my mouth. From 3 days ago. Licking my lips before he stole any more precious calories, I pouted at him. I like what I'm wearing. I can tell, he said dryly. I'll put it on to wash, and you can change back into it after the party. No. The photographer will be here soon. High Society Mothers needs candids for their article, remember? No. Don't you want a visual history of this moment for your child to flip through later? No. Don't you want another cupcake? Lethe snapped her fingers, and Oscar reappeared, bouncing in place like he had to potty. He was so eager to get back to Eva. I'll give it to you if you cooperate. No. A second cupcake appeared in Oscar's hands, and Lethe grinned. I'll give you two. The deal interested me, of course, but I had already eaten two, and she was offering me two more. That meant I would have had four. She never ordered less than a dozen, so there were eight more cupcakes hidden somewhere in the house. Oscar could be bribed with a new Nerf blaster to bring me the rest, and then I wouldn't have to move. Not moving was nice. I enjoyed it. So much, it was my new favorite hobby. A joyful zing through my bond with Wooly distracted me from my plotting, and my pulse skipped a beat. You made it just in time, Neely said as the back door shut. I was starting to worry. The rest, that he would have had to wrangle a cranky pregnant lady alone, went unspoken. Linus bent over the back of the ridiculous chair, brushed his cool lips across my bare shoulder, and chills skated in their wake. Heart fluttering, I tipped my head back and stared up at him. Tonight, his dark auburn hair was gathered at his nape, a sure sign he had been working and didn't feel up to fussing with it. Meanwhile, my fingers itched to slide off the elastic and run my fingers through the silky length. As if reading my mind, he smiled, crinkling the corners of his dark blue eyes, and I was lost. Hello, he breathed in my ear. Are you excited? The baby chose that moment to jump on my bladder like its own personal trampoline. So excited I could wet my pants. I wriggled to emphasize my point. Help. Linus circled around to the front of the chair and we clasped forearms. He hauled me to my feet in a practiced move, and I was tempted to rise onto my tiptoes to smooch him until I remembered my ankles were swollen and my ability to stand on tiptoe abandoned me around the 7th month mark. After a brief trip to the little necromancer's room, which also required Linus's assistance, since Wooly's original toilets were shorter than modern ones, I allowed him to dress me in the downstairs salon while Lethe fed me the two cupcakes she owed me. Oscar had vanished while I was distracted by Linus, taking all hope of more cupcakes with him. Ah, well, might as well save room for the main course. That cake in the kitchen wasn't going to eat itself. The outfit Neely had chosen was a maxi dress with the most flattering drape possible when you're 9 months pregnant and showing every hard-earned pound of it. Even the print made me smile. Dozens of baby rattles in all shapes, sizes, and colors speckled the fabric. We didn't put much stock in the whole pink or blue thing. I was a fan of purple myself. But it did simplify the big reveal portion of the evening. Prepared for the worst, I scrunched up my toes. You might as well show me what misery lies ahead. Given Neely's affinity for fancy toe prisons, I worried about my swollen feet's imminent incarceration. All that stress bled from my soles when Linus unboxed a pair of leather ballet flats in a sunny yellow.
"Brace on the wall," he said, "and I'll slide these on you."
For the last 2 months, I hadn't been able to see my feet over my belly. Forget bending or pulling on real shoes. I had given up on those altogether and embraced a maternity in Crocs. They made my feet happy. I could take them off and put them on by myself, and they came in a variety of colors that made me weirdly giddy as I added to my collection. Hormones. What can you do? The flats weren't Crocs, but they would do nicely. "Knock, knock," Neely called from the other side of the door.
"How's our girl?"
"Decent," Linus told him.
"You can come in."
"Oh, Greer." Hand to his mouth, Neely entered the room. "You're gorgeous. You've outdone yourself." I smiled at him. "I feel beautiful." I had wanted my curves back, and now I had miles of them. Just not exactly where I had pictured them. "You're always beautiful." He rushed over and gathered me against him for a lingering hug. "Always. You're so good to me." The backs of my eyelids stung. "You're the best guy friend a girl could ask for." We clung to each other, sobbing openly, while Linus and Cruz, used to our outbursts, reached for the mini packets of tissues they were never without these days. Neely was a sympathetic crier. One tear from me, and his floodgates gushed open. He and I bawled together at least once a day for no particular reason, but it felt great having someone to sniffle with instead of being the hormonal pregnant lady in the room all the time. "Break it up," Lethe pried us apart. "The guests are arriving. I hear cars pulling in the driveway." Official hosting duty should have fallen to Linus, but he didn't stray far from me these days. Our proxy for the evening was Cruz, who was pretty, if not personable, and more than qualified to act as doorman.
"Let's hustle, then."
Neely dabbed his eyes, then guided me to a salon-style chair.
"We need to get your hair up and then brush on mascara and lip gloss."
He showed me a bottle with an unbroken seal. "This brand swears not to budge for 24 hours. Among other latent talents, I had discovered during my pregnancy that I could cry off waterproof mascara, regardless of its guarantee. Neely was awed by my skills and had set out to test all the top brands on me for future reference before I regained control of my emotional seesaw. Flexing my fingers, I waited for Linus to thread his through mine, then exhaled with relief at the small contact. The baby, who had a knack for knowing when his or her daddy was near, kicked me hard enough to leave a dent. "Does anyone have any eviction notices?" I massaged my belly with my free hand. "I've got an unruly tenant on my hands." I paused. "Actually, on my bladder." Just like that, I had to pee again.
"You've got 2 weeks to the day," Lethe reminded me through a cloud of dry shampoo Neely massaged into my roots. "Then it's bon voyage, baby."
Thanks to cephalopelvic disproportion, I had a C-section penned on my calendar. Basically, my obstetrician believed my pelvis was too small for the bun in my oven to fit through the door.
probably because it was overbaked and not all that interested in leaving the oven when it had a direct line to all the cupcakes I had been eating. Seriously, I loved this kid already. Cletus materialized in a swirl of black cowl and shared an ominous glance between Linus and me. I didn't have to search my bond with the Wraith to know what he meant or to appreciate the warning. "Your mother's car has arrived." I squeezed Linus's fingers. "Why don't you get her settled?" The Grand Dame was to blame for the photographers invading my home and for the interview I was expected to give later in the week to accompany the glossy magazine spread. She was also the reason I was having an official baby shower tonight with her friends and an unofficial one next week with mine. Any of that might be the reason I was kicking my feet to avoid falling into line. I didn't appreciate manipulation, and she was a master of the art. Mother knows Woolworth House like the back of her hand. He kept his hold on me. "She'll be fine." "You guys are so adorable," Neely cooed. "You're going to make great parents." Linus and I shared an "I hope so" look, our doubts and fears written plain across our faces. The lights flickered, Wooly alerting us to another guest's arrival, and Lethe poked her head out to see. "Your doctor is here. I can't tell if he brought a date or a nurse." She cocked her head. "Or a snack." "Dr. Rogers?" Regret tasted oddly of lemon chiffon cupcakes. "Why is he here?"
"I don't know."
Linus knit his brow.
"He wasn't on my half of the guest list."
For sure he wasn't on mine. What few names he and I were allotted had gone toward ensuring Lethe, Hood, Neely, and Cruz could attend. That meant his mother had extended an invitation on our behalf.
Oh, joy.
"He's very serious," Neely noted while he finished getting me ready.
"Does he ever smile?"
"Only when he checks my weight and warns me to slow down on the carbs." Dr. Rogers had no idea, none, how hard I worked to gain enough weight for a healthy pregnancy. I never stopped eating. Thanks to my peculiar biology, I struggled to keep my ribs from showing through my skin pre-baby. The 35 pounds I had gained over the last 9 months were a miracle. The fact I had taken to nibbling on Linus to get a direct shot of vitamin L to my system was beside the point. Hand to his heart, Neely sucked in a gasp. "That bastard! I want to fire him, but Linus says no. He's the top obstetrician in the world." Linus repeated his argument for the 100th time. The fact he's a vampire with centuries of experience only bolsters his resume. And I was pregnant with a... We didn't really know what you got when you crossed a goddess-touched necromancer with an Eidolon. That was the only reason Linus had yet to terminate him with extreme prejudice, and we both knew it. But to admit that was to confess his fear, and he didn't want to add to mine. "Last checkup, he made Greer cry," Lethe growled. "It took 2 dozen donuts to calm her down again." "I would have cried and eaten those donuts anyway," I confessed. "But I would have savored them rather than eaten them out of spite. The flavor was definitely ruined. I can't stomach chocolate-glazed donuts after that. Unless they have filling, preferably raspberry. But I accept strawberry as a substitution. Cream isn't as good, but I could force those down if I had no other choice." "See that?" Lethe clicked her tongue. "The man ruined chocolate-glazed donuts for her. He's clearly a monster." I beamed up at my bestie, truly the jelly to my donut, and teared up thinking how lucky I was to have her in my life. "I love you."
"I love you, too."
She rolled her eyes, used to my emotional outbursts.
"Now gird your loins. It's time to go welcome the eager masses.
Girding her loins was what got her into this mess. With a mist of hairspray, Neely finished tweaking my updo. Or was it ungirding, since she got knocked up? Laughter burst out of Lethe in a snorting explosion of mirth, and poor Linus reddened until his cheeks resembled ripe beefsteak tomatoes. A BLT would be great right about now, especially with fresh tomatoes from the greenhouse. Focus, Greer. Focus. Wanna run away together? I cuddled into Linus after he helped me onto my feet. This party is really for your mom. I stared up at him. As long as she's here, no one will miss us. I kissed his chest through his shirt. We can rent a hotel room for the day and cuddle. A pleased rumble worked through his chest, and his arms tightened around me as my argument, or the southerly drift of my hands, swayed him to seeing things my way. Dressed in a crisp white button-down shirt and charcoal slacks, he was begging me to take a bite. "Forget girding," Lethe caught my wrist. "Cuddling is actually what got you into this mess." She hooked her arm through mine and hauled me off him. However, there were definitely loins involved. "Meanie," I grumped. I almost had him. "You can manage 2 hours for posterity." She turned me toward the door. "Then I'll make excuses and we'll tuck you in for a short nap." "Nap," I said dreamily. "I'm ready for you." Linus, who wasn't scandalized in the least by my torrid affair with sleep, chuckled at my love-struck whimper of longing. "We have a surprise for you," Neely said, stealing me from Lethe. "You're going to love it, but you can't have it until your unofficial shower." The number of humans and shifters on that guest list, the real one, had scandalized the Grande Dame. Her shock had forced us to split invitations into 2 groups. While I didn't mind doubling my cake intake, I hated how it made me appear too ashamed of my non-para and low-society friends to let them hobnob with the high-society. Thankfully, they all knew the truth. I just wished both halves of my lives played better together. "Aw," I patted his arm. "You guys have done enough. You didn't have to get me anything." We entered the living room, teeming with faces both familiar and not, but one in particular was absent. I appeared to have girded my loins for nothing, but the reprieve wasn't as comforting as I had imagined. "Where is the Grande Dame?" I craned my neck. "Wooly said she arrived." "Her car arrived," Neely clarified. "It's in the driveway." Nothing on earth would prevent that woman from attending this shower. It had nothing to do with me. I was but a vessel in her eyes. But this vessel held the future of the Woolworth and Lawson families. She had grand plans for her grandchild, and I smiled and nodded through them. But Linus and I had our own ideas on how we would raise our child. Through the window, I spotted her car idling against the curb. "Has anyone spoken to her driver?" "I don't believe so." He pursed his lips. We assumed she was waiting to make a dramatic entrance. That did sound like her, but the magazine crew was setting up, and she would never allow that without her direct oversight. Neely steered me toward the hot seat, but I veered in the direction of the door instead. "I'll handle it." The party couldn't start without her. If we tried, she would never forgive the snub. And never was a long time for a necromancer, even one her age. "Oh, there you are," Dr. Rogers greeted me. "You appear to have frosting on your..." He gestured toward my face. "Everywhere, actually." His lips thinned. "We discussed your sweet tooth at your last appointment, Greer, and we agreed."
"Oh, would you look at that?" I pointed out the window. "I see someone calling my name." pinched face drawing tighter, he followed my line of sight.
You read lips?
I am a woman of many talents. I sidled past him. Gotta go. Out on the porch, I
Sample complete. Ready to continue?